greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. I'm just excited about Sunday morning. I'm excited about Sunday evening and Wednesday, and praise God. We have so much going on here at Calvary Gospel Church. It's just amazing to be part of a live, living body of Jesus Christ. Praise God. We are so excited. Was it Thursday or Wednesday? We went to the daycare and had a meal with the daycare people. It was so delightful. We were sitting at a table with a couple of really cute children, and one guy was about three, Logan, I think his name was. He said to me, I said, "How old are you, Logan?" He said, 3 and a half. I said, "Oh, that's neat." I said, "When are you going to be 4? He said, "On my birthday." You talk about, and he didn't hesitate. And then a little girl across the table, she says, "You want to know what my mommy calls me?" I said, "Sure, turkey lips." So we had a great time. Plus, Roy Grant is the premier chef here at Calvary Gospel Church. He cooked up some tremendous turkeys. Praise God. If he's not cooking, he's preaching or doing all kinds of things behind the scenes. That we have a great agenda plan for next year, and it's going to be awesome. I want to talk to you a few minutes this morning about beyond a shadow of a doubt. Hallelujah. Ever heard that phrase before? Praise God. The title of my message is Beyond the Shadow of a Doubt. The phrase, most of the time, you hear it in a legal sense, but the definition is, it is so obvious or has been so thoroughly proven, there can exist no doubt. So something that is beyond a shadow of a doubt is something it's not questionable. It's too obvious. It's something that you see and you don't have to dispute it. Praise God. So we're going to open up this text here at the book of Romans, the 4th chapter and the 17th verse. Praise God. I think most of you are aware of the amazing story of Abraham and how God miraculously used him to bring the heir of salvation. He became the father of many nations. But it's interesting to see there's a principle in here I want to share with you this morning. Hopefully, when I began to study this out, it was become very, very exciting to me. Romans 4:17, if you wouldn't mind standing in honor of the word. "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead, who calleth those things which are not as though they were." That's pretty awesome just in itself. "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old, yet neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." In verse 21, we're going to focus on that. "And being fully persuaded that he, what he had promised, he was able also to perform." If you would be seated, praise God. That verse is what really has clicked in my soul, because I believe it holds a key to receiving the promises of God. In Clark's commentary, I'd like to read just a few commentaries, maybe bring out a little more meaning here. Clark's commentary said, "In being fully persuaded, his soul was full of confidence that the truth of God bound him to fulfill his promise. His power enabled him to do it." See, so many times we know God can do it, it's just that we're not so sure he's going to do it for us. Another commentary said, "Being fully persuaded, he was certain that God not only could, but would do what he promised." And then Matthew Henry wrote that unbelief is at the bottom of all of our staggering at God's promises. You know, sometimes we know the promise is there, yet when we try to wrap our faith around the promise, it's like we stagger at that. It's like, can God really do that? You know, Jesus in his very own hometown, the Bible says he could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Unbelief puts a bucket of water on your faith. Doubt and fear are really nothing more than faith in reverse. Praise God. But belief in the promises of God releases the promise, releases the faith. Praise God. God honors faith. Great faith honors God. Praise God. Isn't that good? God honors faith, but great faith honors God. And that's what I think, as apostolic, tongue-talking, blood-washed apostolic, we need to be seeking for that dimension. Our lives should be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible is full of stories about men who had great, uncompromising faith. And when Daniel was about to become a new food group there in the country he was set to exile in, I think that was the first kosher food that was set out. Praise God. But, you know, it was amazing to me in Daniel 6:16, it was the king, that really felt that the God whom he served continually, he will deliver thee. Listen to what he says here. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver you. I said, this is the king. This is the man who put him in the lion's den. And then, of course, in Daniel 6:22, the Bible says, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I guess if you wanted to put it in our vernacular, if Christ be for you, who can? Who can be against you? I said, just yourself, by the way. I say, if Christ be for you, who can be against you? So there's no power in heaven or on earth that can come against you if you line yourself up with the precious word of God. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care how big your mountain is. I don't care how bad things seem to be. Listen, our God is able to do above and beyond that which we ask or even think. Whatever you're thinking right now that God can't do, it's a lie from Satan. Listen. He is the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances, seventh. If he commands me to forgive my neighbor 70 times 70, that's 449 times for each offense, how many times is God going to forgive you for your offenses? God's not in the business of destroying people. He is looking for people to seek and to save that which is lost. Praise God. In the Bible, we see the impossible becoming the possible. This is exciting to me. I don't want to live in the mediocre now. I want to live in the supernatural world that can't be seen. The Bible says that the worlds were formed or the worlds were framed by the word of the Lord. So things that are seen are not made by things that do appear. This is a concept that I'm trying to get to you today. Listen, if we can understand that what we see is not the real world. The real world is the unseen world. The world that when we pray to God, sicknesses will leave our body. Demons will flee from our neighbors. God has promised us. We need to stand on the promises. We need to be fully persuaded. Praise God. And you cannot become fully persuaded unless you understand what the promises are, what God has promised you. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When someone draws the line, and I know some of you have already done this, I think of Sister Peggy Moran. She drew the line and she says, I'm not going to go on this side. I am going to be healed. God has healed me of cancer. Praise God. And it was healed because she decided to stand on the promises of God. Hallelujah. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what the physicians say. Hallelujah. I'm not against that. But listen, every one of us will have an opportunity one of these days to make a decision. We are either going to believe the Almighty God, we're going to believe His Word, or we're going to get crushed by circumstances. Praise God. Has anybody ever been under the circumstances? Praise God. Brother Grant always, when I said, I'm under the circumstances, I'm doing well. He said, what are you doing under there, Brother Thomas? It's the last time I said that, by the way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have to refuse to allow fear and doubt and circumstances come into our heart, and it overwhelms our spiritual eyes, and we begin to see things through natural eyes, and it is easy to fail. But we will stand on the word of God. We cannot fail. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 1 and 12 in the New International Version. You know, wonder what God's doing today. Have you wondered what's on his agenda today? The Bible says this: the Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." Praise God. When you pray in accordance to God's will, he is ready and willing. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Pray, you say, well, I could never have a perfect heart. Yes, you can. That's another lie of the devil. All you have to do is ask God to forgive you. Praise God. Get washed clean with the blood and start this journey again. Praise. You have a root of bitterness in you. You can't get over it. Get down on your knees and forgive and seek the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55 and 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Do you understand what that means? It cannot return to him void. The Bible says in another verse of scripture that we are the voice of his word. We are the ones that God's given the authority to speak the word, to cast out devils, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to allow the spirit and power of the Holy Ghost to come into the lives of those people who have not seen this. This authority, my friend, does not come just because you want it. It becomes when you as an individual decide and make a conscious thought, I am going to believe the word of the Lord over circumstances. I believe God has given me the authority to speak to devils. I believe God has ordained these hands to lay a hand on the sick that they would recover. This is something you have to make a decision. You have this power, but you must decide to be fully persuaded beyond a shadow of doubt. Praise God. If we don't do it, friend, there is nobody else to do it. God does nothing but in answer to prayer, does nothing but in answer to the people who have been called by his name. If they will humble themselves and pray and seek his face. Oh, hallelujah. What great rewards are waiting for those who do this. Listen, the only way to play this game is to be on fire for God. There is no such thing as Goldilocks Christianity. Some like it hot and some like it cold, but most people like it just not too hot and not too cold. Jesus said, listen, you need to return to your first love. That first inspiration when you understood that you had been delivered out of the jaws of the lion, that you were from darkness into light. Praise God, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know, there's a saying in the world that we hear quite a bit. It's not a bad term. It just people seem to enjoy this phrase. It says, what you see is what you get. And I think that's okay to a degree, but I just want to take a thought out of that. What you see is what you get. And that's true in the spiritual realm. You are seeing things in the spirit world, or you're seeing things in the natural world. And you have to make a conscious decision which eyes you're going to be looking with. And you can tell because you'll be speaking that which is what you're seeing. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have two sets of eyes, Jesus said. Neither have ears, let them hear. Those who have eyes, let them see. We're talking about that unseen dimension that controls the universe. The worlds were framed by the word of God. Everything that we see around us has been created by God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Which eyes are you using? Hallelujah. Praise God. I think Brother Grant preached the message. I think it was Victory in a Can. Remember that message? Victory in the Can. He talked about the 12 spies. Then 10 of those spies decided they did not believe God's word. But two of them saw victory. And they said, we can take these. These people are no problem to us. Look at your situation today. I don't care what it is. You want to ask yourself, is your problem bigger than your God? Is anything too difficult for him? Is there anything impossible? Hallelujah. Is there anything that God cannot do? Listen, if we get it in our heart, in our mind, that God is able to do above and beyond that which we ask or think. He's just waiting to show himself strong to you. He's just waiting to show you that you are not alone, that your broken heart can be fixed, that the things in your life, he is here today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till next service and get a blessing. Why don't you just receive it today? This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus taught the two eyes theory, which I just love, because when I start thinking negative, I begin to understand that I'm seeing things through my natural man, through the eyes of the world, through the thoughts that are coming into my mind or from another world. Listen, Satan can't read your mind, but he can sure put thoughts in your heart. And those thoughts are doubt, and they're fear, and they're things that will cause you trepidation, praise God. 2 Kings 6:15, wonderful story, praise God, about the prophet talking to his servant. Hallelujah. The place was surrounded with the enemy. And the servant was saying, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? And the prophet prayed, 2 Kings 6:15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto them, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, we are in deep trouble. What are we going to do? Have you ever been in that circumstance when you are in deep trouble and you wonder, what am I going to do? You need to pray and get a hold of God and look up to the author and the finisher of your faith. He is ready and willing. Praise God. And he answered them, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I said, I don't know if you heard me or not. I don't care what your circumstances are. This place is filled with God's angels right now. Right now. God has come right now, this day, to give you whatever you need today. Some of you have diverse needs. But if there's anybody here today that does not have Bible salvation, listen, this is the day that you need to receive that which God has paid the awesome price for. 2 Kings 6:17, and Elisha prayed and said, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. That's a great prayer for you and I to pray. God, open my eyes that I might see. Open my spiritual eyes so I can perceive what you're perceiving. Praise God. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Praise God. If you want to get over in this new covenant, you need to remember God requires in this new covenant, this new dimension that we are in, called the New Testament. Praise God. We went from the natural to the supernatural. You cannot see things in the natural that you need to see to be victorious. You need to be looking into the unseen world. You need to, when you pray for your healing, you can't look at the doctor's report and quote that and know more about that than you do about the word of the Lord. You need to be able to stand up boldly and declare, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, it is written, it is written, it is written. Praise God. By his stripes I am healed. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. And the chastisement of my peace is upon him. And by his stripes I am healed. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me. Listen to me. I don't care what your need is today. Praise God. But you can't receive it from God in your natural mind. Our natural mind is passionately opposed to the spiritual mind. The Bible says there is a great war going on. They are opposite in nature. The flesh mind is constantly fighting against the spiritual mind. Listen, we need God, but we need to be able to focus our heart and our mind and look with our spiritual eyes and hear with our spiritual ears. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, so shall he reap. Praise God. What are you sowing into your heart? If you are sowing spiritual things, you will receive spiritual dimensions. Praise God. Be not conformed to this world, the Bible says, but be transformed. How do you transform your mind? By renewing it every day in prayer. Washing of regeneration, the Bible says. Washing by, the Bible says that Paul died daily. Every day he started his day off. I believe that he knew his fallen carnal nature. He understood that he needed to repent every day. Every day, every day. Do not let a root of bitterness spring up in your spirit. Don't let yourself get bound by the things that you may have been offended. And I know that people come, and the Bible tells us that, you know, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not, then he's a perfect man. But before you can receive anything from God, you need to forgive. You need to reach forward and let God take care of those things. Don't you try to deliver yourself. Let God be your deliverer. Praise God. Release it in the name of Jesus. We need to make deliberate decision every day to die. Deliberate decision every day to get a hold of God's promises for your life. We need to be fully persuaded. Listen, we are in an epic battle here between good and evil. We have been given every weapon that we possibly need. The Bible talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not natural, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, we have all of this. We have been given the full armor of God. And if you don't put it on, don't be mad at God because you're getting whooped. Hey, praise God. Why don't we just all put the armor of God on? Why don't we all just find someone to win? Why don't we just get our hearts off of the things of this world and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and plow forward and take this city by storm? Praise God. I don't want to be part of this world. The Bible tells us that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We can't love the world, the things of the world, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are all things that will destroy you. We need to get a comb out and comb through our life to find out what is it that's keeping me from becoming the man that I need to be or the woman that I need to be. Praise God. We're fighting a supernatural war. It's unseen. The enemy comes at us 24/7. He controls the media of this world. He controls everything pretty much that we see and hear unless we are hearing the voice of God, unless we allow ourselves to be continually be renewed every single day. The world says this, but God said that. The world said this, but God said that. Listen, it's diametrically opposing. Now, if you want to feed your flesh and if you want to get involved one foot in the world and one foot out of the church, listen, the devil will gladly receive you. If you want to get a bitter attitude and something that is keeping you from going further, you can do that if you want to. But if you choose to make a stand, if you choose to believe God, if you choose to get his word hidden in your heart, if you choose to pray without ceasing, and you choose to fast, praise God. Listen, this will work. This, you know, one thing I learned in the Marine Corps, we trained. I was sick of training. But when the battle started, I was so happy that I knew what I was supposed to do. Duck, D-U-C-K. Get down. Praise God. The Bible says that we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that does not have to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Praise God. You know, the devil sometimes even uses scripture against people. He'll get them thinking some things that are just real stupid. Praise God. Hallelujah. Fast. There's a word that we hate. Fast. Purge your heart from the world and the things of the world. But the great thing about fasting, it releases the power of God. It releases and it burns out. It has the way of burning out unbelief. Praise God. So if you've got anything in your heart, you need to understand that this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to skip over Romans, but the new covenant is very simple. The essence of the gospel is just simply this. If you believe, you'll receive. Or if you doubt, you'll do without. Praise God. If you believe, what? Believe the word of God. And it's not just say, I believe. No, I believe in spite of the mortgage. I believe in spite of my, I believe in spite of circumstances. That doesn't mean you can live any old way that you want to. This is not a name it and claim it thing. This is drawing the line in this proverbial sand and saying, from this day forward, I am going to trust God more than I trust the world and the things of the world. There is the physical sight and there is the spiritual sight. My sight is, when you get in this dimension, this is so exciting to me. You cannot possibly think you're going to stay in that dimension because things come at you. But you always are striving to get back there where you know this is where the glory is. This is where the power is. Even the great prophet, after he defeated 450 of Jezebel's prophets, 22 verses later, he's sitting under a juniper tree, depressed, ready to throw the white towel in. God understands you're human. Yes, he knows that we're just dust. Praise God. But you and I need to focus on the solution. And belief is a decision, a conscious decision, to be fully persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt. If that little bit of doubt in there is what will continue to grow, it's like leaven, the Bible said. We sometimes think unbelief, is not a big deal. It's a real big deal if you look in the book of Revelation. And the Bible says all unbelievers are cast in the lake in a fire with adulterers, whoremongers, all the people that we know are going to hell. But then the unbelievers, people that do not believe. Hallelujah. Think about the power and authority God has. Think about the fact that, we come from a disadvantaged dysfunctional world that teaches us. The very first time I heard about Jesus Christ was this little babe in the swaddling clothes. Praise God. Nobody told me that this was God manifested in the flesh. Nobody told me this was the Savior of the world. And if they did, it didn't make any sense. How is this baby going to save me? How is this little baby? Well, the Jews knew that this was. They knew him from the Almighty down to the baby. We have to take him from the cradle in that manger in swaddling clothes. And then by the power of the Holy Ghost, we can understand that this was not just any ordinary baby. This was the Almighty God robed in flesh. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 6, 20 and 21. This is the formula that was given to us by Jesus. Matthew 6, 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For listen, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our heart is neutral. It will receive anything we give it. We have to force ourselves. Where your treasure is this morning, where is your treasure this morning? Is your mind filled with stocks and bonds and problems, the seen or the unseen? If we focus on the seen, this is what we're going to receive. If we focus on the unseen, this is where your heart will be also. If we focus on the wonderful promises of God. Praise God. Listen to this. The seen or the unseen. This is where your heart will be also. And from out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can be around somebody for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and you can pretty much tell what they've been feeding on, what they've been seeing. They've been seeing the natural. They're seeing all the negative things that are going on. They're speaking these things. They're giving the devil plenty of ammunition. Because he can't read your heart, he can read your lips. He can listen, just stand around and listen to some people. I get depressed around some people. Brother Grant calls them balcony people or basement people. Find yourself a group of balcony people. Those are the people that are going to lift you up. You're going to want to be like them. But basement people, they want to get you. They're not happy until they're pulling you down or someone else down. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. Temporal. You know what that means? They're just there. They're not going to last. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So Paul is saying, look at the unseen things, the unseen promises. You need to have your heart filled with hope, filled with the Spirit of God based upon His precious word. You know, I have lists of promises, God's promises in my office, and I review them all the time because I know that there will be a day when I'm going to have to stand on the promises. I mean, I don't care how spiritual you are, how advanced you think you are to this point, or how whatever, you're going to need to have some ammunition. If you look at the whole armor of God, there's one offensive weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit. Listen, we have a shield, but the sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon. And it's not our sword, it's the sword of the Holy Ghost inside of us. If we've given Him no ammunition, if we've given Him no prayer, if we've given Him none of the things that we need to be successful, if we have our eyes on our problem and not upon the solution, you might as well stay home, because you're going to be defeated. Praise God. Ephesians, I like this scripture. Ephesians 1:3. I've heard people say, well, you know, God never gives me anything. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, everybody say this, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, if an extensive study of the Greek, all is interpreted all. There ain't none after all. It's just, that's it. There's just all is all. There's nothing left for God to give us. Everything that we have been given is already been given. Excuse me. Ephesians 1:4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Praise God. Now, I've heard people say, I just can't live this life, Pastor. This is tough. Listen. I had 38 years in the world. I can tell you what tough is. I can tell you what tough is. I can tell you about not having a driver's license. I can tell you about waking up with a head that was pounding like there was a nail inside. I can tell you about the world and the things of the world and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. Listen, and all He's asking that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And by the way, the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So you need to purpose in your heart beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be holy. You're going to only feed yourself those things which promote holiness. You're only going to associate yourself with people who lift you up and not take you down. Praise God. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That means a special treasure unto God. Listen, we are God's beloved. We are the apple of His eye. We are the reason He went to Calvary's cross. Because He loved you. He cared about you before you were even in your mother's womb. He knew all about you. He understood you were going to be born. He understood all the things that were going to happen in your life. Yet here you are today. Praise God. It's no coincidence. The Bible tells us it's the goodness of God that draws people to repentance. Isn't that something? You didn't just walk in here. God drew you in here. You're not just a... I've heard people say, you know, I don't know why, but I just felt I need to come into this church. Well, I know why. It's the goodness of God that's calling you to repentance. Repentance is the key to go through the front door of the relationship with God. You have to repent because God's not going to enter into a temple that has sin in it. So repentance is not doing anything more or anything less than just acknowledging the fact. And this seems to be the hardest thing about this whole process. People are refusing in this day, in this hour, to acknowledge the fact that they are sinners. I said, This world is filled with people who are self-righteous, who are filled with pride, who do not think they need a Savior. They are doing things that are right in their own mind, but it's not. It totally contradicts the word of the Lord. Unless you're fully persuaded that you need a Savior, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you will not make heaven your home. Because if you do get in, you'll be lukewarm. Because anytime I see people leave this truth, I'm not talking about church. You can leave the church, you can go to another church. But when you leave the truth, the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So you can be free in another church if you want to. I think it would be foolish to leave the best church in the fellowship. But nevertheless, if that's what you want to do, go ahead. We'll pray for you. But listen, this truth has set you free. Now, you can go someplace else, but listen, it is not going to go well with you. Praise God. When we are fully persuaded, we enter into this dimension where God can actually use us. He can use us. Praise God. If you'll stand with me, praise God. The world is hungry for someone to deliver them. They're so hungry, they've invented their own superheroes. They've got Batman, they've got Robin, they've got Catwoman, they've got Iron Man, they've got Superman. They've got all these fictional characters that make them feel good because they are fighting against evil. Ha, ha, ha. Listen, I have decided my superhero is going to be the one who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. The one who washed me clean with his blood. The one who took my sin and washed it away so I became just as if I had never sinned. Oh, hallelujah. If that doesn't excite you still today, friend, you need a checkup from the neck up. If God be for us, who can be against us? Listen, all things are possible. All things. I don't know who's here today that perhaps have never, ever, ever understood what it means to be born again. We'd love to have you come up and stand right over here. And we have people that will talk to you and work with you and help you pray. Listen, Jesus made the statement. We didn't say this. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is not a maybe. This is, you cannot enter the, you have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. So if you'd come up right here, if you'd like to start this first-time relationship, some of you I know are struggling with issues. You've got things coming against you that are impossible in the natural. Listen, when we get to the end of our possibilities, that's when God steps in. This is when God can do the opening up the deaf ears and opening up the blinded eyes and having sicknesses leave. If you come over here, we will pray and believe that God is here today. Hallelujah, hallelujah.